I was stuck in Zurich. There was some volcano or other, and I needed to get back. There was a train that went, weirdly, all the way to Lille. And as I got on that train, as I was waiting for that train, there was someone that recognised me. It's always a strange feeling. You don't really know them, but you know that they know you. I've taught a lot of people over the years, just to do more explanation. And so, you know, it's a bit like being a prefect at school. All the young kids remember you, and you don't remember them. And so he introduced himself. My name's Jonathan Spurrier. He said, look, I can't, look, to be honest, I do know you. I can't quite place you. He said, well, 10 years ago, I came to one of your courses. I was working for X Bank, and you told me everything I needed to make money. And I laughed, and I said, and was the course successful? And he said, very, very successful. And I said, how successful? He said, extremely successful. Millions and millions of pounds successful. And I said, are you going to buy me lunch then? We sat in the car in the immaculate carriage, the immaculate dining carriage. And of course, this being Switzerland, it didn't matter that the volcano had blown up. Everything was fantastic. Sadly, I only really wanted frankfurters and tin potatoes. But, you know, it needs must. So I chose the most expensive item on the menu. He said, let me tell you what happened. And I said, well, go on then. An hour later, I was gobsmacked, absolutely astounded. We went back to the carriage. I said, look, I'll catch up with you in about half an hour. I've just got to check some things. He said, I've just got to check some stuff, and I'll come back to you. Of course, he never did. In my carriage, there was a better class of racist, exactly what you imagine. This guy talks about Africans, Egyptians, Turks, even the Russians, in the same hideous tone of dismissal. I couldn't place his accent at all. It seems like, ironically enough, he was a very, very well-travelled man. I couldn't place him. I just knew him as someone that hated everyone. He told me that the train would have to stop at Lille because of all the immigrants that snuck on. And it was always a nightmare getting through. And then he said, the White Cliffs of Dover, they're brown now, aren't they? They're brown now. So I tried to keep myself quiet, and I went out to look. I couldn't find him where he was. But he was in an immaculately presented carriage. He said, come back, half an hour, I'm just putting some stuff away, and I really want to talk to you. We got to Lille, the place was absolutely crawling with police, and that's when I heard the scream. The police told me that he'd fallen. Well, we can't be sure he's fallen, maybe he was jumped, maybe he was pushed, but in a way, it doesn't matter. Imagine a watermelon that's dropped 30 metres down a ravine. He was unlucky, yeah, he could have just, you know, broken a couple of ankles, but no, it's like a watermelon hitting concrete from a dive. The police took me in. I was the last person that he'd been seen talking to. What were you doing that afternoon, they asked me. There's plenty of English policemen there, but it was the French that were beginning the investigation. And I said, I was just talking to him. And they asked me what. So I told them something about the past. And he said, is this something you do? And I said, yeah. And I began to explain a bit more about risk and return. I've been talking with the old guy, the racist, who's very, very negative. He saw everything in terms of risk. Of course, Spurrier saw everything in terms of return. The police said, well, you know, you're the last person to speak to. A month later, they'd let me go.